south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, in the next few shows, I think I'm going to try to put the finishing touches on a lot of things I've spoken about, but I ran out of time on previous shows. You know, big things left dangling, things a lot bigger than dangling participles. But first, let me mention an amazing fact. They say now, worldwide, there are more cell phones than people. Now, that's been true in Latin America for a long time. But here's what you didn't know. The fact is that 95%, I'm reading this from a recent news article now, 95% of all cell phones in Latin America, the British call them mobiles, are of the prepaid kind, what you might call throwaway, cheap ghetto phones in the States. So the fact is, you go to a little cell phone shop or one of the cell phone outlets down here in Latin America, that is. You could pick up one of these for about 15 or 20 bucks. With that, they'll include usually about 100 free minutes of talk time. Then after that, you have to keep charging it to keep the minutes going. So then who are the other 5% that have fixed cell phone service contracts? Well, those are the people that have steady, secure jobs, a bank account, and a credit card. Because that's what you need to go down to the phone store and get a pay-by-the-month contract. And note, with these fixed cell phone contracts, nearly 100% of the time, they'll just deduct the amount every month from your credit card. Now, I know some of you right now are thinking, hey, it's just the opposite of what it's like up in the first world. About 95% of people have a fixed contract in those throwaway cell phones. Well, they're for people in the ghetto and drug dealers, right? Those so-called Obama phones. Yeah, isn't it funny? Rumor has it that those free Obama phones up in the ghettos of the United States are used for drug deals. How's that feel? You're paying for it, you know. So anyway, down here in Latin America, you got 95% of all cell phones being prepaid with a prepaid card that you buy at the local store or by going into any little retail outlet that has one of those little phone logos on the door, which means you can walk in and get a recarga, an instant charge. That's the way you do it without having to buy a prepaid card, which is much more convenient. Now, you might wonder if those scratch and sniff cards were all the rage for the last 5 years and they're suddenly out of favor, and soon it's predicted you won't see them anymore at all. Well, that's because if you're a street vendor and you have a stack of those cards, they're as good as real money, and thus subject to being misplaced or stolen. Whereas if you buy a recarga, a recharge, at one of those little vendors, he has no such cards and no inventory to tempt anyone to rip off. And speaking of those prepaid cheap cell phones that 95% of the people use down here, note that this is Latin America, the land of superficiality, where you are what you own or what you drive, which is the mindset down here anyway. That's not to say certain classes of society up in the States don't have that mentality too. I mean, look at rap and hip-hop videos, you know? That said, down here, people will often hide the fact that they have one of these cheap phones and bury them deep in their purses or their pockets. Whereas people who have a little bit more expensive so-called smartphone will make sure it stands out for all to see, even if it's run out of time and they've got no money to recharge it. Which always makes me laugh because, to me, displaying a smartphone right out in the open on your belt or in your pocket for all to see is like someone standing right in front of you jabbering away with a ripe zit on his forehead. You're just thinking, what's wrong with you? Why don't you just pop that thing? But to Latins, a phone is not just a phone. It's a socioeconomic class statement. So if you do have a smartphone, even if it doesn't work, or you don't have the dough to keep the minutes charged up, Latins will still display it proudly and flash it enough to let you know they're not carrying one of those cheap throwaway jobs, which, down here, reveals a lot about a person's standing in society. And get this, crazier still, down here, there's even a derogatory nickname for those cheap phones themselves, which also implies a kind of a cut down or slam to a person who has one, implying, of course, you don't have the class or money enough to afford a real smartphone. So that derogatory nickname for those prepaid phones is frijolero, frijolero. Now, that's a word that's derived from the word frijoli, which is the common everyday red or black bean that's consumed by the masses, mostly lower and middle class people. In fact, refried beans are made out of frijoles. Now, like I said, those cheap prepaid phones are called frijoleros. That word came about because little cheap cell phones all look just about the same. And though they come in different colors, the black ones, anyway, look like giant frijole beans. So note that if you're walking the busy streets of Latin America, you're in a commercial center or even an elevator, and you hear someone say frijolero under their breath, that'll be a Latin person poking fun at another person who's using one of those cheap throwaway phones. In fact, just this week, I've heard two groups of teenage girls using it kind of cutting up on each other about their own phones. To them, it's an inside joke, but if they were to say it about someone they don't know, then it's a heavy insult. That said, I can tell you one of the surest ways to gain some respect and some self-esteem instantly is to be able to ditch those little cheap frijolero phones and get a real smartphone, even a cheap one, on a monthly contract, which down here, believe it or not, includes a free smartphone. So, let's say you're in the upper 5% of Latin Americans economically, and you go to the cell phone store and you qualify for a monthly plan. Well, then you'll be able to take your pick from a number of popular smartphones as a free gift for signing onto a plan for a year or 18 months. You'll see that with most all cell phone companies. Now, that brand and the features of that free smartphone that you get will depend on the kind of plan you sign up for. And by the way, I have a Friolero phone myself. In fact, I've got more than one. No smartphone for me. And that's what I always recommend for gringos down here, because then you're not any kind of target. Those little frijolero phones have no resale value, so no one's out to steal them. Now, do note that, amongst other things, Latins look at us gringos quite differently. They don't classify us by our cars or our phones, meaning you are what you drive and what kind of cell phone you own, etc. Latins generally apply those rules only to themselves. Because you see, as gringos, we've already been long since stereotyped. In the best possible way, of course. Sure, Latins think it's funny that many of us don't have high-end cell phones, we're using the frijoleros, but they never think it's because we can't afford it or because we're low class. They just think because, well, gringos have their idiosyncrasies and certain cultural differences that they'll just never understand, and vice versa. You see, Latins believe that if us gringos and expats can afford to hang around in Latin America for weeks, months, even years, then, they believe, it's all because we were lucky enough to be born first world people. So then you might ask, are Latins jealous of us? Are they jealous that we were born first world people and they weren't? Well, to that, surprisingly enough, I'd have to say no. Because, you see, we come from such different worlds and different backgrounds. We're so far apart in so many ways. There's really no basis for jealousy, and I'll explain a little bit more about that in a little while. Which brings me once again to the subject of happiness. Because, you know, when you get a bunch of long-term expats together down here, sometimes we talk about the things that seem to make an instant impression on fresh newbie gringos. And first world visitors, especially fresh new gringos, are always saying, how can these people be so happy? Look at the poverty. They say that because they know poor and lower middle class people up in the States seem to be so miserable and unhappy. So, it's only natural that when first world people come down and see the happiness, they just don't get it. It's a conundrum, and at first I didn't get it either. You know, I can't tell you how many times gringos come down to my seminar or I meet one on the street, and they say the same thing. It's just so refreshing meeting so many genuinely happy and friendly people. It just doesn't make sense. Now, of course, I'm talking about Latins off the gringo tourist trail where they haven't been contaminated, spoiled, jaded, or otherwise ruined by the gringo dollar. Or, for that matter, like what happened in Costa Rica, hordes of gringo tourists and their kids looking for McDonald's, four-star hotels, strip joints, and casinos. Anyway, just recently, that subject of happiness came up again. In fact, there's been a couple of new studies out in first world rags and magazines. Again, with the surprising results that 4 out of the top 10 were Latin American countries. Anyway, at a recent Christmas party, and in Latin America, Christmas parties are called convivios. Vivio means life, and con means with, so there you have it, it means a lively party. Anyway, since I'm off the gringo tourist trail as usual, this convivio had about 100 people and there were only 3 gringos in attendance. Anyway, one of the long-term gringos I was with, who happens to be an English teacher at one of those expensive helicopter private schools, just loaded with gringo wannabe entitled kids of pretentious parents, You know I've mentioned those schools many times on the show, since practically any gringo coming down could easily get an English teaching job at one of these schools. Anyway, my long-term gringo teaching friend said he thinks he knows the real reason why Latins are so very happy. And you know, I've heard a lot of theories, but I've never heard anyone put it so well. He says, and I have to totally agree with him, that no matter if you're with dirt poor Latins, middle-class Latins, or upper-middle-class Latins, whatever socioeconomic class you happen to be in, your neighbors are pretty homogenous. They're all in the same boat. For example, if they're very poor, they all have rickety little shacks with tin roofs and cold running water, if that. No car, obviously. A couple of chickens in the yard. No washing machine. Perhaps an old boxy TV. Basically, families in the whole damn neighborhood are pretty much poor, low-class clones of each other. Same thing with a solid middle-class Latin family. All your neighbors will have pretty much the same appliances. A washer, a refrigerator, a microwave, no dryer, no trash compactor, no vacuum cleaner, a TV for sure, but nothing fancy, and maybe, just maybe, a 15-year-old car sitting outside that's always breaking down and getting worked on. So again, basically everyone's in the same boat. Now, for sure, not everyone's extraordinarily happy in the neighborhood, and lately, many of us gringos who've been down here a long time have noticed a certain amount of unhappiness in the form of jealousy, envy, etc., creeping into neighborhoods and cities where you never really saw it before. Well, now this is the real interesting part. And if you buy this argument, it'll stick with you for a long, long time. And according to my gringo English teacher buddy, it goes like this. Let's take the example of a small town out in the boonies, where everyone's pretty much homogeneous. Oh sure, you got families that own small hardware stores and little tiendas and stuff, the business class. They've got slightly better houses and more things. But no one's really envious of them because, you know, they can do that too. They just have to work a little harder and have a couple of lucky breaks. It's always possible and everyone knows that. But here's the situation lately where things have been getting cockeyed. And if you're down here and you keep your eyes open, you can see it for yourself. Okay, now for example, suppose you drive through a small town out in the boonies that's, let's say, 6,000 people. Now, as you're going through the main drag, the so-called downtown area, these days anyway, you're bound to see two or three kids driving brand new scooters. And I'm talking about adolescent kids, 14 to 16 years old, even young girls. Now, you'd never see that a few years back, except, of course, on the Gringo Tourist Trail, where there's a lot of tourism, Costa Rica, for example. Anyway, how do you think that happens? A couple of young teenage kids in every town that have brand new motor scooters just to go joyriding around. I'll give you one guess. It's because their parents or family members are up in the States as illegals sending back that money every month called remisas. I've spoken about remisas enough on previous shows. Anyway, think of it. In a small town like that where adults don't even have scooters, hell, they wouldn't buy one. Not for their kids and not to joyride around. That would be beyond extravagant. In fact, ridiculous. If they had the money, they'd buy something really useful, like an old pickup truck or a motorcycle, which certainly would be used by dad and dad alone for the business or to go back and forth to work. Now, that's not to say that occasionally, like on a Sunday, dad wouldn't pile 3, 4, or 5 kids on that motorcycle at once to go to church. You get the idea. This is Latin America, you know. What I'm saying is if a middle-class family happened to have a motorcycle in the family, it would be the prized workhorse and nothing for the kids to play around with. So anyway, now suddenly you've got some kids that were normally part of the homogeneous mix equal to everyone. Suddenly they've been jacked up more than a notch or two in the perceived social order of the neighborhood. And that, my friends, tends to bring a lot of jealousy and envy amongst the neighbors. I'm bringing up a situation where a teenager is showing off on his new scooter thing as an obvious example, but it shows up in other weird ways too. Now, consider a community where all the houses are basically the same, like I said. And suddenly, in the midst of all that, a construction crew comes in and expands someone's little house to about 10 times its normal size and about 2 stories higher than anything else in the neighborhood. That, surprisingly enough, from a distance, looks a lot like a middle-class gringo house in Cleveland. Again, that's all due to those remisas being sent home by some illegal from the family that's somehow landed a decent job up there. So you can imagine what that does to the general feeling in the neighborhood. First of all, they realize their neighbor's enrichment comes from not working. There's really no effort involved. And secondly,
Of course, it makes everyone wish that they could sneak into the U.S. and do the same thing. But that's not the issue here. The issue is, the so-called have-nots see that suddenly things are out of balance in the neighborhood. So now you've got envy and jealousy creeping in, which are pretty much polar opposites of happiness. So indirectly, my English teacher buddy pointed out, it's us gringos who are responsible for a certain amount of unhappiness that seems to be creeping into cities in Latin America. And he said, hordes of gringos are responsible directly and indirectly for Costa Rica falling off the list of high happiness countries too. As he said, some 15 or 20 years ago, Costa Rica was full of it. Oh yes, you could argue they're full of something right now too, but it ain't happiness. Now, if you think all of this is a bunch of hypothetical BS, let me give you another little example here. Just about 3 weeks ago, expat Eddie informed me that his long-term gardener just up and quit on him. Now, down here in Latin America, when you're a long-term gringo or expat, you come to depend on certain guys and gals like your cleaning lady and your gardener and your maintenance man, whatever. And after a while, if you get a good one, they really do become part of your family. Then what happened to this guy that expat Eddie always counted on? Well, as it turns out, he's got a brother who lives in Nevada. A so-called wetback, a mojado, and like I said before, that's not a derogatory term down here in Latin America. That's exactly what the newspapers and the media call people who slip into the States illegally. Mojados, which means wetback. Anyway, somehow he must have hit the jackpot in Vegas, and he sent enough money back to his brother, Eddie's gardener, that he was able to buy a late model car. Now note, Eddie's gardener never had a car or a vehicle of any sort, and so he never had a driver's license, neither did anyone else in his family, but nevertheless, he went out and bought a car. And now he figures, like his family does, with his car, he's jumped up enough notches on the social scale that he's no longer the kind of guy who would settle for just gardening and maintenance jobs. Now, note that Eddie's ex-gardener does not have another job lined up that might pay for gas or maintenance for that car. And forget about car insurance, only about 2 or 3% of Latins have that. Insurance never really was on the radar down here, except for gringos and people who buy their car on financing terms. In that case, you're forced to get insurance. Anyway, the fact is, just the act of a lower middle class guy having a car sitting in his driveway, whether he can afford the gas or not, is quite exceptional. Even more exceptional, the fact that it's a very late model car in a neighborhood where almost no one has a car that reliably runs or a car that has less than 50 dents, nicks, and scratches in it. So then, what's a situation like that do? Well, it puts a lower middle class Latin in an entirely different social class, or at least that's the common perception. Not only in his mind, but in the mind of his neighbors. Now, Eddie logically predicts that in a couple months, his old gardener will come crawling back, knocking on the back door asking for his old job back. Because you see, down here, it's the same old story with illegal aliens up north. There's just no guarantee at all that those remises, the dough that's coming from his illegal alien brother up in Nevada, is going to keep on coming. In fact, get this. The other day, I was visiting someone at a very nice first world hospital, and the nurse in the room started speaking to me in broken English, asking me if I'd ever been to a certain neighborhood in L.A. But nope, I never heard of it. When I got her story that she'd been up there for a year and a half and got caught and deported, nope, she didn't tell me that, but it was obvious. In fact, they almost never tell you that. It's just a little too embarrassing, you know? Anyway, she said she was able to send back enough money in just that year and a half to have her own tiny little house for her and her mother, and enough money left over to take nursing classes down here in Latin America, of course, where she'd been sending her money back to her mother every single month. Now, of course, it wasn't her plan to get caught and deported. It never is. The plan was to keep sending money down and build a nice big house in the old neighborhood to return to and retire when the time came and live like a queen. So, can you see what's happening here? That's the plan. The plan is to come back and be better than all your neighbors and shove it right in their faces. Now, you'd think that the plan would logically be, let's get enough money to move to a nicer neighborhood where the houses are better, to get away from those tin roofs, the dirt floors, the driveway chickens, and the squalor. But no, as it turns out, it's all about returning to the old neighborhood as the conquering hero. But as my deep-thinking expat high school teacher friend said, it's just that provincial attitude that's creating a certain amount of misplaced envy and jealousy that never really existed in these small towns before. And thus, in the long run, eroding a lot of that Latin American happiness factor that everyone talks so much about. And, you know, that's exactly what happened to expat Eddie's girlfriend when she finally talked him into getting her an SUV. That provincial attitude prevailed, and she did pretty much the same thing. Do you know what the first thing she did when she got that car? She had her driver, yes, remember, she got a driver too, take her to the old neighborhood where her mother and all her relatives still lived. Yes, they lived in a not-so-nice, solid, middle-class neighborhood in San Salvador, a place I'd never recommend you or I drive a nice car like that into. Sure, a 5-year-old Nissan Sentra, that'd be fine. But a brand new high-end SUV? Well, Eddie knows better than to let her do that, but what can he do when she's out on her own, just showing off, tooling around with her driver? Well, as it turns out, the first thing she did was she went to the old neighborhood, and she picked up her sisters and her aunts and her uncle and her mother, etc., and they proceeded to spend the next 2 or 3 hours just driving through the neighborhood, pulling up to the houses and the people on the street that they knew, making with the friendly hellos, etc., but basically just shamelessly showing off that she's got a brand new SUV, something that none of them in their wildest dreams could ever afford to have. In other words, expat Eddie's girlfriend drove away from the old neighborhood that day with a self-satisfied smile on her face, feeling great that she trumped them all and they knew it. Meanwhile, what do you think all those folks in the old neighborhood were thinking? Nothing good, I can tell you that. But note, after that little narcissistic display, from then on there was just a little bit less happiness in that neighborhood. So in the end, as far as Latin Americans are concerned, what is happiness really about? Well, my gringo English teacher buddy says, the way he figures it, the secret to happiness is, get this, low, not high, expectations. That's low expectations, which when you think about it makes a lot of sense. For example, he says, if you go into a store and you've only got 3 choices of shoes, well, you make your choice fast, you're out of there and you're happy. However, if you go into a store and it's got 200 choices of shoes, it's going to take you one hell of a long time to make a decision. And once you've made it, you're going to walk out of the place thinking, wait a minute, did I do the right thing? Did I check out all the possibilities? So how does that relate to Latins? Well, like I said, you go to a small town, let's say 10 or 15,000 people, and you go to a variety store. Well, guess what? There ain't much variety. They've got maybe 2 TV brands and 3 or 4 couches on the display floor. And when you're off the gringo tourist trail in a small town like that, you'll see in the hardware stores they've got maybe 3 or 4 faucet styles and maybe 2 or 3 toilet styles for sale. And as for the toilet, most likely the same manufacturer, just different colors. Oh, and by the way, you might think, well, a toilet's a toilet, right? Well, down here it isn't, I can tell you that. I don't know about up north, but down here in Latin America, they've got your regular American standard or Kohler-sized toilets. Pretty much the same model that you found in your mother's house back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, which did serve all us millions of baby boomers quite well, I'd say. Though, from what I hear, they really need to be supersized these days for the new breed of supersized gringos up north. But you'll notice when you come down here, they've also got a very, very popular line of much cheaper toilets that look like they're kind of starter toilets. As far as we're concerned, training potties. But... yes, I said but, and I mean that as an expression. No pun intended. Down here, in many stores, restaurants, and many commercial districts, you'll go into the bathroom and you'll see a toilet that looks like it's for maybe a 12-year-old. Well, just know that that's the economy model. And believe me, it usually ends up being a double or triple flush situation under the best of conditions, if you know what I mean. Oh, and by the way, those water-saving toilets are starting to make their way into hardware stores down here in Latin America, too. And yes, they're higher priced, so very, very few people have them. However, in newer, more first-world-like establishments, you'll see them pop up here and there. As far as I'm concerned, they're just crap. Again, no pun intended. Well, maybe just a little. That said, just give me one of those old standard baby boomer Kohlers or American standards any day. You know, those one flush'll do yas. I know. They use about 20 gallons of water every flush, but hell, at least the next guy in's not going to know you had corn for dinner. Don't you hate when that happens? Anyway, the concept behind water-saving toilets is tremendous. If only their function could follow their claim. That said, I know they're everywhere up north. In fact, required, right? Okay, then, what's your favorite water-saving toilet fiasco story? I know you have one. Well, I don't want to know. However, I will say a really disgusting thing is starting to turn up down here in Latin America. The waterless men's urinal. Have you seen that yet up north? I'm sure you have. Well, to me, as a past life engineer, there's something fundamentally wrong with that concept. Come on, tell me you've been in a bathroom where they've had those and it hasn't been stinky and kind of disgusting. Now, down here in Latin America, I've seen those waterless urinal jobs show up in certain U.S. fast food restaurant chains. Bad idea. And by the way, how do you clean them if they're supposed to be waterless? Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Anyway, you heard me talk about expat Eddie's girlfriend a little while ago, and the latest disagreements they've been having has been over, guess what? Facebook. Now, down here in Latin America, everybody's on Facebook, just like up north, only nobody seems to have figured out that giving up all that data, etc., to the cloud can be pretty risky. Now, note that just recently, a lot of stories have been breaking in the big Latin newspapers, highlighting how there's been a rash of kidnappings and extortions perpetrated on stupid, upscale, rich Latin kids who give up every little detail to Facebook. And why wouldn't the bad guys no good next down here stalk idiot rich kids on Facebook? They do it all the time up north, right? So anyway, Eddie tried to sit his girlfriend down and explain why he did not want her on Facebook anymore. As Eddie explained to her, he said, "Think of Facebook as the world's biggest navel-gazing tool, allowing you to gaze into everyone else's navel and vice versa." She bought his explanation and agreed, but asked him, "Eddie, what's navel-gazing?" Because you see, here in Latin America, that's where translations falter. There's no such thing as a navel gazer in Spanish. Instead, you have to substitute the word narcissist. Close enough, and it'll work. But it ain't half as funny, is it? Anyway, as luck would have it, about a week later, expat Eddie caught her on Facebook again, and in the end, he figured there was just nothing he could do about it. Because, as it turns out, down here in Latin America, if you're not on Facebook, you're a nobody. Whoops, we're getting towards the end again, so let me mention my January 2015 Expat Wisdom Seminar in Central America. I do have some spots left, so just go to expatwisdom.com and click on the seminar link for full details. You need a plan B, so come on down and we'll fix one up for you.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to the Expat Files. Living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.